Lights, camera, action. It's the month of movies for May 2014. What's going to happen in this podcast is we're going to talk about the movies that we watched over the past month in May and kind of give you a little description of what they are and what we rated them.
Yeah, I have a box set of movies that have 50 of the best Warner Brothers movies of all times, so I'm going through that. And then I'm going to review those ones as well as other ones I see in between.
And I have a deck of cards from That's Entertainment of the 52 best movies of all time, according to the year 2010. So I'm going to try to watch one of those each week and then other movies.
Yeah, mine have 50. There's 52 weeks. I'm caught up right now. The last week in May is week 21, and that was my 21st movie. So that was... And I got a two movie buffer, so even if I miss a week, I still have, you know, I'm still kind of on time.
I'm a month behind, and it turns out, and to make things better, is the month of May had 5 weeks in it, so I'm 5 movies behind.
I did watch 5 of my movies this month, as well as 3 others.
I only watched 3 of my movies and 2 others.
So first off, May 1st. It was my first movie.
Me too.
And yeah, we watched it together. We watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Classic. It's not part of my box set, but I wanted to watch it because Bob Hoskins died.
Yeah.
And I was like, everyone's like, oh, Mario died. Mario. I'm like, no, it's Eddie Valiant. And we're like, we should watch a movie. Let's watch that. So we watched that while, you know, we were painting, I think.
Yeah, we're painting.
We should finish those.
It's ironic. We were painting cartoon things, and we're watching a cartoon movie.
I wasn't on cartoons.
I was. Mine was a video game. Yeah. But yeah, holy shit, that movie is so much better now that I'm an adult and I understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I understood it as a kid, but like...
That's the thing about that movie is that no matter what age you are,
you
find something that's funny or you like about it, even though you don't get all the jokes.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, as an adult, knowing how many strings had to be pulled to have Warner Brothers and Disney characters in there, holy shit.
Yeah, that was a big...
Don't get that, how that worked so well.
It was a big crossover between Warner Brothers and Disney, and you're never going to see anything like that again.
But one of the things that, not really a spoiler alert, but kind of if you haven't seen this movie, but, like... Some of the things that, not really a spoiler, but like when the guy gets killed mm-hmm. and they had yellow paint on the rope and like, oh, it matches his gloves. I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. I'm like, how did that work? But then later when you find out about the villain,
mm-hmm.
his hands were yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, fuck, of course they're just cartoons. Of course they see yellow paint. Well, this could be anybody's. There's no DNA.
Well, they knew it was a cartoon character. That's about it. It's a yellow cartoon.
Yeah, and like, you never saw what the person looks like, but except for the hands that were the things, and they're old yellow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, yes, but it's a fucking great movie.
Yeah, it was a very, like, classic film noir type movie with cartoons. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I love that movie. And rewatching it made me love it all over again. I mean, I gave that movie a 9.
Yeah, I gave it a 9. I wanted to give it higher, but I'm like, I feel like if I give it higher, I should own it myself.
Yeah.
Because you own the copy.
I own it, and I almost, like, bought it on Blu-ray to see if they could get, you know, the anniversary edition or whatever on Blu-ray. That's probably higher quality and stuff, but I don't know how that would look because, you know what I mean? Like, the special effects might not translate better in high def.
It's a lot of cartoon stuff, so I mean, like, that's usually pretty smooth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the first movie we watched.
That was the first one. My second movie I watched was the next day.
Oh shit, you're jumping on this.
Yeah. And that was the movie for my box set, and that was Cool Hand Luke, which I've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my second time watching it.
I never saw it. I was going to watch it when you did, but then I forgot.
Yeah, it's not part of your list,
no.
But it should be.
I've never seen it.
Because it's a classic, because it's. What we have here is a failure to communicate, which is, like, said a million times in the movie. Not that many, but quite a bit.
It's figuratively a million times.
Yeah, but it's definitely a phrase that's said multiple times in the movie. But, it's a good movie. I mean, I don't really know what to say about it.
Well, what's the basic premise of... Oh, we didn't even... We just skipped over the first movie without explaining the plot. But
oh, Roger Rabbit.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Roger Rabbit is framed for murder of Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, it's a half cartoon, half live action movie where cartoons have their own town, but they come into ours to film movies and stuff like that. And
but Marvin Acme is murdered, and Roger Rabbit is framed, which Acme is funny because everything's made by Acme.
Mm-hmm.
But he has the will to find out what happens to Toontown, and they are trying to figure out what's going on with that and why Roger Rabbit did it and all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's a fun kids movie, which, yeah.
There's murder, sex.
It's not sex.
He gets caught doing patty cake
with
Jessica Rabbit, which causes them to think that Roger gets pissed off and kills him.
Yeah.
But, that was that plot.
But I know Cool Hand Luke
Cool Hand Luke is this prisoner. Guy. Yeah, it's like one of those chain gang things where they're like, they have to do, you know, meaningless work and they're, you know, chained together and it's prison. But to me, like, Luke, the main guy, is such a great character, like, the character for him, because the movie starts...
Oh, so his name is Luke?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure it was, some name that... Like...
No, his name's Luke, and they call him... Oh, because they're playing poker, and he's like, oh, you got a cool hand, Luke. And then, like, the nickname sticks. But the movie starts off, and he's drunk, and he's just cutting the tops off of parking meters.
Nice.
He's going from meter to meter, cutting them off, and they fall... And then he just goes to the next one. He's, like, not even taking the money or anything. He's just doing that. And the reason why he did it is because he was bored. But he was drunk, and, you know, he gets arrested, and it's federal or governmental or whatever. So, like, he gets put in the chain gang. And throughout the movie, he keeps trying to escape, mm-hmm. and he gets caught and keep getting brought back, and everyone, like, starts looking. Like, when he first shows up, everyone's like, oh, this guy was just another one. And all of a sudden they realize, like, this guy's pretty cool. And he keeps trying to get out, and they're like, oh, Luke got out! Look at him! And all of a sudden he's back, and, oh, he can get out again! But it's a pretty good movie. I liked it. I gave it an 8.5. That was my first one out of for the month for my box set.
The first one on my box set is the movie you saw as well.
Oh, yeah.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, before we get to that one, I want to go to my second one.
The Jason's movie.
Because that's the... I have one movie in between those two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're busy.
Yeah. Because after that, I watched Bullet and 2001 in the same week because I was behind.
Mm.
So that's why I did that.
I should have done that.
Yeah, so I watched Bullet, and then, like, a couple days later, I was like, hey, this is my next movie. And you're like, okay, let's watch it. But Bullet is a Steve McQueen movie. It was okay. It was a movie about this guy who saw a crime, and they're, like, protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, like, people protecting this guy because he's a key witness in the court and stuff like that. And then he gets killed.
Oh, shit. By a bullet?
No, Bullet is the detective's name.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's why it's spelt weird.
I can't see it from here.
But, so then they're trying to figure out who did it and why and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah. L-L-I-T-T. Yeah.
And Steve McQueen is Bullet. And it's, you know, a cop drama type thing. The movie itself was okay. I felt like... not a lot happened, but I mean, it's a famous movie because the car chase is like one of the top 10 car chases in mm-hmm. movies of all times.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool to me. That was the best part of the movie, but even that wasn't that. I mean, like, watching it's like, oh, it's a car chase, but if you thought about how they shot it and all this stuff, like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, that was definitely for the time. That was like, holy crap.
See, the thing is, I don't... about the movies and car chases, I really don't care about car chases mm-hmm. at all. Like, they could do anything, almost anything. I'm like, oh yeah, they jumped a train. Good, yeah. Great, woo.
That's how I am too. And the best part of the movie is the car chase. So overall...
yeah.
It's like I gave it a 5.5, which I'm sure a lot of people Ooh. Would probably get mad at me for saying that. But the movie itself wasn't that amazing of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, but 5.5 is... better than average, slightly,
because
mm-hmm. a 5 would be okay. I wouldn't recommend it to people. I wouldn't tell people not to watch it. This is slightly better than that. So that was my, yeah, I think I just wrapped that one up.
Yeah.
So that was my 18th movie of the year for my box set. And then the next one is the one that you wanted to talk about.
2001 A Space Odyssey.
Which I've seen before. I watched it in college. And I liked it a lot. It was just really long. I mean, I don't want to say long, because I've watched a lot longer movies, but there's a lot of getting into the moment, you know, where they're setting up the atmosphere and stuff.
What I'm most upset about in this movie, and it was a good movie, don't get me wrong, but this is the first time I've ever watched this movie. And all the years of me, people talking about this movie and this and this and this, and I was like, oh, the first part is this, and act two is this, and act three is this. I was expecting them to be equidistant. Like, hey, the part with the monkeys, okay, so that's going to be like a half an hour of monkey stuff. It was like 10 minutes, and then it's like an hour and 20 minutes of like Hal, and then like the last fuck-up crazy part.
Well, you forgot about the part I always forget about is the moon. They find the obelisk on the moon.
Yeah, but that was around the same time as the Hal, because they were like...
That was a couple months later.
Was it?
Yeah. Don't Act remember. 2 is pretty much... maybe... I don't know. Because, yeah, Act 3 is the trippy part. That's right.
Yeah, because...
Jupiter and beyond.
Because he was going up there to, like, figure this stuff out and literally talking about that. And he's like, oh, yeah, this is what's happening in Jupiter. He's like, oh, okay. And then it showed the trip on the way to Jupiter.
But, I mean, I watched it once before and I forgot. To me, the monkey part was longer than I remember.
Really?
Yeah.
I was expecting to get... Because people explain, like, oh, it's like a half hour monkey's just beating bones on things. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to get ready for this. And that's why I think it got delayed so long, because I thought it was going to be literally 30 minutes of just watching monkeys bang sticks and bones together. And I was like, oh, it's over already? This movie's faster than I thought. And I'm like, wow, they're just not moving with this.
But, I mean, it's such an amazing movie, though, because this happened before the moon landing and all this stuff. Like...
Yeah,
and I also like it how it's very open to interpretation of what's going on.
Yeah, it's hard to spoil that movie, except for like the main. If you know anything about the movie, you know like the main spoiler.
Yeah,
like basically, Planet of the Apes is like, oh, if you know about Planet of the Apes, you know about like the last you know 5 minutes of it.
But it's cool. I mean, obviously, the Hal part is my favorite, and I'm sure it's a lot of people's.
I wouldn't
do that, Dave.
I know. I was.
But you've seen so many parodies,
yeah,
and like reimagines of that.
It was cool, but I expected it to have more, like more involved with Hal than it was, I guess.
Yeah,
because like the part when he's like when he's
whispering,
is like that part fucking creeped me out. I'm like, this needs to be longer. I want him to be like, I can feel it. I'm like, oh shit. And I wanted to see more about that. That was cool. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I like that movie a lot. After watching it a second time, I like it even more now.
Oh, it was good. I gave it a 7.
I gave it an 8.5.
There you go. You own it.
Yep, I do.
I borrowed it. The thing is, I borrowed that movie from Brian when you lived with him. And I
7 or 8 years ago?
Like, probably 7 years ago. And then I finally gave it back to him when he was over, like, 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I just watched this. You can have this back. It wasn't even his copy I watched.
Yeah. That's the nice thing with this box set is that a bunch of movies I like that I didn't own, I now own. Yeah. So now I actually own 2001 A Space Odyssey. All right. And speaking of 2001 A Space Odyssey, I decided to watch the sequel.
Did you?
Yeah, I borrowed it from... I'm skipping because it kind of goes together.
I didn't see any numbers, that's why.
2010, the year we made contact. And it's kind of funny because it's completely different director and writer. Well, it's still based on the books.
Yeah.
But it's just funny because it's like more... I don't know how to say this without offending. It's a more normal movie than 2001 was.
It's not as... much of a visionary perspective.
Right. It's actually like, oh, we're going to do this. Let's go here. Let's do this.
Yeah. It's like, more direct.
Yeah. But it's just so funny because the first, I want to say 5-10 minutes is like a synopsis of 2001, because if you didn't see it, here, this is what happened. And now this is like directly after that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because then it's like, oh, if you just watch 2001 and that's all you watch,
mm-hmm.
you start jumping and saying, okay, I think this happened because of that, this happened. The second one's just like, this is what happened. You're like, oh, I was kind of close.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just trying to figure out what the obelisk was.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, oh, the obelisk is alien race.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Just a straight out boom. Like, oh, okay. Because they go to Jupiter and they apparently are living on Jupiter. And they're just like, there's a scene where there's like a whole bunch of obelisks and they're just like forming a giant circle and stuff. It's fucking creepy. But it's just funny because the guy from Jaws is in it.
Roy Scheider?
I think so.
The guy who's Chief Brody? Chief Brody? In Jaws?
I haven't seen Jaws in forever and I don't remember the
chief.
Character.
He's the chief.
He's the guy who's like...
He's the he has the family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's him and then John Lithgow is in it.
John Lovitz.
Not John Lovitz. John Lithgow. From Dexter? Just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of funny because I'm like, oh, those characters I actually know. But, of course, the voice of Hal comes back because they're trying to figure out what happened. Like, why did Hal malfunction?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So it is an okay sequel. I only gave it a 6.5 because it wasn't amazing, but it was definitely worth a watch.
And the other...
especially if you saw the first one.
And the other two books haven't been made into movies.
Nope. Because I'm guessing because the first one...
Was Kubrick,
and it was really well done. And they're like, we should continue making these movies. So then they put forth the effort, made the sequel, and I'm guessing they spent a decent amount of money on that sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing it didn't do as well either. So they're probably like, this didn't do as well as we were hoping. Let's not do the rest of them. So
I could totally see them like revamping it now, like 2001, like redoing that. I could see them doing that.
I would get so angry.
Well, Stephen King wanted to redo Shining because he didn't like the Kubrick version.
Redoing it.
Yeah, I know.
Like, which might actually be kind of cool.
It could be, but it's...
but it's not like... yeah. I don't know. It is good, but it's not, like, amazing.
Yeah.
So, like, there's definitely ways you can improve that movie.
Well, that's the thing, weird thing about Stephen King's books is, like, they're horrible. Like, you read them and it's like... talking about jerking off and fucking killing people and blood and guts and like every
put that in the movie
and, like,
now
stuff. But then all his movies are like half his movies are made for TV.
Yeah,
I'm like, why the fuck is this?
Yeah, if you had an R-rated Stephen King movie,
was that The Mist or is that PG-13? I can't remember.
That might have been PG-13
because yeah, like, I mean,
but I'm just saying like how amazing those movies would be.
I'm sure he has some R-rated movies. I'm sure Cujo might have been.
See, I don't know.
I don't remember. But I'm like, but still.
I feel like a lot of them were like either made for TV or PG-13 or, like, or something.
Down. Like, yeah, fortunately.
Well, and obviously most movies come out, they try to hit the PG-13
because
then more people can see it and they make more money off of it. Instead of a quality movie, they go for profit, which is everything nowadays. But yeah, so 2001 Space Odyssey and then 2010, the year we made Contact. And between those, I kind of wish... well, I was going to watch them both back-to-back, but then I saw this movie, and I was like, this is interesting. So I watched it. It's called Goodbye World.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard of it. And it's not like... it's kind of like an independent-type film.
Oh, this isn't your box set?
No, it's not in my box set, but it came out, like, last year.
Okay.
And it takes place... it's kind of like... The TV show Revolution, but if they focused on the good part and didn't have it stupid, like basically all of technology goes down, and this takes place like when that happens, and there's a bunch of people in their house up in the woods and stuff like that. So a bunch of them are up there and they don't realize this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, like, people are showing up and they're like, oh my God, did you hear what happened? Like, what are you talking about?
So it's like the sequel to Escape from LA.
Not at all. If I had to compare it to a movie, it would be kind of like The Big Chill.
I don't know
if you saw it. Oh. It's basically a bunch of, well, in this movie, it's a bunch of college friends, like, after they've all grown up, you know, got married and stuff like that, finally getting back together,
mm-hmm.
and like catching up and stuff like that. But it just happens to take place
while
this is happening. But then as you're watching the movie, you're like figuring out that some of it, like how it happened and stuff like that. And it's kind of cool. It's, I don't know. It just seems like an interesting concept because there's like a virus that took down the network and stuff like that.
Okay.
So that's why all, no cell phones work and stuff like that.
Like a virus, I was thinking like AIDS somehow took down like a computer virus.
No, they like took down the network and stuff. So everyone's like, I'm not getting a signal out here and stuff like that. But yeah, it was kind of cool. The main characters were the main guy from Entourage.
Oh, you know the actor guy? Yeah.
I'm not having you guess the names because you're not going to know.
No.
And then the main guy from the OC who's going to be in that Gotham TV show. So those are like the two biggest names in the...
And you couldn't even remember their names?
Nope. It doesn't matter because you say that and people know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Or they don't, and then they don't care about those actors because those are the two most popular things they've done. So yeah, that one, I mean, it's like an end of the world type thing. You know,
would you give it?
Oh yeah, I gave that one an 8.5.
Whoa!
So that's pretty strong. Yeah, it was like one of those that after I watched it, I was thinking about it the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, usually if that happens, I'm gonna give it at least an 8 because it's one that keeps me thinking.
Yeah.
The longevity of it.
Now
I don't know how I would think of it if I watched it again though. But
now here's the problem that I have with my next movie that I watched. Watched it after Who Framed Roger Rabbit before 2001. And I can't remember if I talked to you about this or talked to our friend Brian or if I had it in a dream. But I watched a movie called World's Greatest Dad. It's Robin Williams is the main character.
Oh.
And it's directed by Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, you're talking a bit about that. Okay. Because you're talking about how Bobcat got his name.
Oh, yeah. Well, because I heard him on a couple of Harmontown episodes, but he directs movies and stuff, and I hear they're pretty good, and that was on Netflix, so I'm like, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, and I did kind of want to see it, even though I'm not, a big Robin Williams, but it's, Robin Williams.
Yeah, it's like a one-hour photo of Robin Williams or Insomnia. Not as creepy, but, still normal. But the movie, it's about a guy who's a teacher, and his son is just kind of a... I don't want to say recluse, but
You said Father... World's Greatest Dad.
Yeah,
World's Greatest Dad. Not to be confused with Father's Day, which is also a Robin Williams movie.
And what's his nuts that I hate?
Yeah.
Billy Crystal?
Oh, Billy Crystal, yeah, where they don't know who the father is.
No, World's Greatest Dad. It's about Robin Williams as a teacher, and his son is kind of, just very... What is it when,
autistic?
No. No. He, was like, oh, I don't want to listen to you, Dad. Rebellious.
Okay.
Yeah, and they got his mom and stuff got divorced. So it's like just him taking care of his son, and he's just always just perverted and all stuff like that. But what happens is he accidentally kills himself while doing his
asphyxiation.
Yeah, sexual. What is it? Yeah.
Choking themselves.
Yeah. Doing the old sexual asphyxiation. So his dad, Robin Williams, is like, I don't want this to look bad for him. So he sets him up to look like he hung himself and left a suicide note. And he was like a kid that no one was friends with at school except for one kid.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone read his suicide note and they're like, oh my God. Like, if we just knew he was this troubled, we would have been friends with him and stuff. And it kind of just spirals out of control from there.
Oh, so it's one of those snowball.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, well, maybe here's some more stuff that he wrote and stuff. And the thing is, Robin's character is trying to be a writer.
So he's
kind of using his outlet. Yeah, and it kind of gets out of control and stuff. But it was a good movie. I gave it a 7, but it was still decent. It's a dark comedy, but I didn't laugh a lot. But at the same time, I wasn't there. This is awkward the whole time. It was an entertaining movie where it just deals about a guy who...
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty good. But, yeah, that's a movie. 7, I gave it.
Nice.
I have 2 more movies left.
Me too.
All right.
The next one I watched from my box set was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Which you like a lot.
Which I do like a lot, and I've probably seen it a lot. I know I've seen it a lot.
I've certainly seen it a handful of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's okay.
I like it. I don't know what to say. I like it. I hated the remake. The Johnny Depp one.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka I thought was great.
I remember reading the books in fourth grade, the glass elevator one as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember anything that happened in that. because at the end, like, he takes off in the elevator, and then that's where the second book starts. It's like Charlie in the glass elevator, great glass elevator, or something stupid like that. And I think they go to like where the Oompa Loompas came from or something at one point, and I don't fucking remember.
All I know is that they said that when they made this movie, they're not making a sequel.
Okay.
So they're never gonna do the glass elevator.
Escalator.
I'm guessing that's coming from the writer who has the rights to it.
I think it's Roald Dahl, right?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that's what they said. He said he would never do the let them do a sequel.
Good.
But I guess he let them do a remake.
Technically not a sequel.
Yeah. I like it.
And for those who have never seen it or heard of it before,
it's a musical about these people who get to tour a candy factory that's full of imagination.
And I saw a picture on the internet that showed Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and it says the original Hunger Games.
Yeah. Because kids are dropping like flies.
Because I want to eat candy, and then they get fucked up. No, they don't die. I don't think any of them actually die, because in the book it's creepy.
They kind of do, but they just go away.
They explain. I remember explaining the book.
See, I never read the book.
Because as they're taking off in the elevator, he sees the kids leaving the factory, and the girl turned into a blueberry. Juiced her. They kept juicing her and stuff. Yeah. And then what happened?
Because the kid who shrank, they brought to the taffy pole.
Yeah, they put him in the taffy pole and stuff like that. And then I remember the fat kid who got lodged in the chocolate thing. Mm-hmm. I remember him being 7 feet tall or something, walking out or something like that. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Wow.
But I remember them explaining it. I was explaining how the kids are.
Yeah, because she was apparently going to the incinerator when they went for the chocolate eggs.
I could be wrong, but I think she came out just all bandaged up like a mummy or something. I don't remember.
See, I never read the book. I have no idea.
But that's what my memory from fourth grade. Jesus Christ.
But the Willy Wonka asshole-ish.
Yes.
Not giving a crap. No, please, stop. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Tim and Robert. That creepy, psychedelic with the worms and the dark. There's a part where they're on the never knowing which direction we are going. And, oh my gosh, it's so creepy. But I like it a lot. I gave it a 9. Okay. 9. Yeah.
Now, the next movie on my list... 2001 was on my list. Next movie on my list also that I had to watch was On the Waterfront.
Oh, yeah.
I started watching this many years ago, and then I got bored of it, and I stopped.
Jack Nicholson?
No. Marlon Brando.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ. But, young, thin Marlon Brando. I started watching it. Like I said, I watched it, and I got bored, so I stopped, and then I'm like, oh, I have to watch this now. I watched it, and I was really, actually pulled in right away. I feel bad because I wanted to raise my score up a little bit.
Dude, it's your score.
I can.
You haven't officially said put it on record.
But the movie takes place on the waterfront. Shit.
Yeah, the docks.
I get it now. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, these union guys basically loading and unloading boats with
cargo
and stuff like that. But the mob has ties to these shipping things, so they're pulling things out and this and this and getting their guys to do this and basically, controlling the whole trade type thing. And people are trying to stand up to it, but well, it can't stand up to the mob. The main character, Marlon Brando's character, I forget his name, but he's he's involved with it. But then when one of the guys, a guy gets killed because he doesn't learn to shut his mouth, he said too much about something, they killed him. And the sister of that guy, he starts falling for her, so he's kind of switching sides a little bit here and there or whatever. But it was a good movie. I really liked it. And Marlon Brando,
so you dreading watching it was for nothing?
Well, I didn't dread it. I was just oh, this is gonna be a long movie. And I sat there watching the whole thing. I'm like, oh fuck, this is good. I originally gave it a 7.5. I'm gonna knock it up to an 8. So I liked it. It was really good. And it had some, and of course it had the one of the most the line that's could have been the contender. I don't remember the rest of the speech, but it was a fucking good scene. But it's one of those scenes where I always know it could have been something. It could have been a contender. I'm like, that line from that movie. But then when it's actually happening in the movie, it's this is a great scene. The reason why he's saying it, it's everyone says quotes from movies, and it's like, it doesn't mean anything outside of the, right. Like, in the movie, it's like, this is where it's going.
Yeah. But, right, yeah. Do your other movie.
Okay. The last one I did was Midnight Cowboy.
Oh, yeah.
It is...
The one with the motorcycles.
The one with the motorcycles. It's not a movie about vampires in Texas. Shit, I'm trying to remember his name. John Voight.
John Voight.
When he's young, holy shit. John Voight and, not Dennis Hopper, Dustin Hoffman. Same initials.
They're very similar.
Same initials. But it's John Voight's character's name, Joe Buck. I'm Joe Buck. That's funny.
Most generic name.
I know, but he lives in Texas, and he decides to leave Texas to go to New York City because he heard there's a lot of single ladies that have a lot of money in New York City.
Oh, this is the Gigolo movie.
Kind of, yeah. But he's like, I'm going to go there, New York City. I'm Joe Buck. And so he moves to New York City and tries to, like, be a gigolo.
The original Magic Mike.
And, no. But then, like, obviously it's not as easy as he thinks it is. He ends up running into this guy who is sort of a hustler named Rico, or as he calls in the movie, Ratzo. It's Dustin Hoffman. And he ends up befriending him. But then, like I said, it's not as easy as he thought. So then, like, it's this whole shit of them trying to last New York City and all this other stuff. But it had, the movie as itself was not great,
mm-hmm.
but it had that 70s moment where it's a 70s movie and it's like suddenly right in the middle there's just this fucking crazy, everyone's on drugs, and we're having, like, they go to a party and, like, everyone's on drugs, and it's like, whoa, ha, 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 laughing, and you see people eating flowers and stuff like that. And but there's one thing that was really cool in it. At the very beginning, he's on the bus heading from New York to, heading from Texas to New York.
Mm-hmm.
He kept looking out the window and, like, he kept having these flashbacks. And they weren't much of flashbacks, but, like, it was basically just a normal flashback. And they're like, oh, you'll never leave me alone, will you? Well, actually, it's kind of one part of it. But, like, a flashback, it's just a normal thing with him and his grandma. And it's like, you just immediately felt he's close to her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you, and you're like...
Just from one little scene.
And just every once in a while, they kept tossing those in there. And, like, oh, God, these two people that he really liked, where are they? What happened to them? And, like, throughout the movie, every once in a while, he reminisces, you see more of it. And, like, and that part was fucking phenomenal. Like, that... in itself was, those parts were great, those flashbacks. And actually, I'm going to knock this up a little bit too. I gave it a 7, but I'm going to give it a 7.5. But, I mean, it, not a lot happened in the movie, but it was still, like, some of those moments in there, like I said, the flashbacks and all mm-hmm. that stuff, it was really fucking cool. But, yeah, 7.5, Midnight Cowboy. Check it out.
Check it out. And then my last movie I saw, you saw already.
Yeah, I did.
Is Dirty Harry. It's the first time I ever saw Dirty Harry. And I apparently thought it was a Western. Because Clint Eastwood is known for doing his Westerns. And I was like, oh, yeah. Because he's got the Man With No Name trilogy and stuff like that.
To be fair, like, before I grew up, I did think that, Dirty Harry was a Western movie. Because I'm like, the famous line with the bullets, I'm like, that's a revolver. They use a lot of revolvers in the West.
Yeah. And for some reason, I always pictured him wearing, like, the poncho serape or whatever with the gun, saying that with the cowboy hat on. And I always pictured him saying that line. And then I'm like, wait, no, he's just a cop. What the heck? I was really confused, started watching it. I'm like, wait, I thought this was a Western. But I liked it a lot. There's, like, a serial killer going around just killing random people.
Uh-huh.
And then he's, like, kind of a crooked type cop.
He's a loose, like, cannon.
Yeah, loose cannon. He's a Dirty Harry.
I think that basically that loose cannon, like, you're off, you're not following the protocols. I think that
probably started, if not started,
at least was very much emphasized by Dirty Harry.
I just love it because he's just, like, doing all this shit just because he actually feels bad for these people and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And it's just like, you can't just do that. You got to read him his Miranda rights and all this stuff. Just like, you can't just arrest him for no cause. Like,
was that... See, the problem is I watched, like, the first four Dirty Harry movies in a row, like, mm-hmm. within a week. And I was, like, a couple years ago.
Yeah, I've only seen the first one, so now I'm going to watch the other ones because I want to...
Was Dirty Harry the one that he was in the alley and he's, like running down, chasing somebody? And then he mm-hmm. just looks up and there's, like, people having sex in the...
Well, he's, like... They're looking for this guy who, you know, was on the rooftop to shoot people.
He was sniping people.
And they see this guy run down an alley with a suitcase.
Mm-hmm.
So he follows them, And then the guy goes into the apartment and he looks into the window, and it turns out it's a different guy, and he brought his suitcase home. And he's like, then he starts fucking his wife. And then, like, the guy's like, hey, you peeping. And also he gets in trouble. He's like, peeping. He's like, I'm a cop. So you're a pervert. Looking in the window. But the bad guy, who's just nuts, just like, just randomly shooting people and stuff, it's just like, that character was just insane. And it was such a, like, color, I don't want to say colorful, but just like, over the top, eccentric, like.
See, actually, that's another thing too. Is I love bad guys when, like, you know that they're straight up bad guys. Like, they're not good people, and they're just chaotic, and they do whatever they want. Which I think is what made me mad about the Joker in Dark Knight. Is like he, I think he was. They're trying to make the Joker be like that villain. Like, I just do whatever I want.
Yeah.
But they try to emphasize that in the Joker, but at the same time, he did have a method to his madness.
Yeah.
Which kind of ruined it because.
Yeah.
He seemed like, all that stuff was meditative. Like, oh, I'm Joker, I'm robbing the bank. Now I kill you, I have more money. And all that stuff. But, yeah, and Dirty Harry, he's like, you're in the way. You're dead.
Yeah.
That's it.
I just love it because he's like, that one scene where he's chasing him onto the football field or whatever, and he shoots him, and the guy goes down. And then he, like, runs over to him, and he goes, tell me where the girl is, and stuff like that. He's like, no. And all of a sudden, he, like, starts stepping on the, like, gunshot wound in his leg. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, I choose life. I choose life. And he's just, like, screaming, I choose life, which doesn't, like, I'm like, does he think he's going to die or what? But I don't know. It's just, the guy's just insane.
Well, the thing is, I bet if he told Dirty Harry where he was, then whoever his boss was would probably kill him.
Oh, you think he had a boss?
I don't know. was that the main villain?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
He, like, kidnapped a bus full of children?
I honestly don't remember that much of that movie at all. I was thinking he's a henchman.
No, he's just insane. Like, he's a serial killer. He calls himself Scorpio. And he just, like, has a sniper, and he just randomly shoots people. He's like, I'm going to shoot a black person. I'm going to shoot a priest. I'm going to shoot a
girl in the pool.
Yeah, and stuff like that. He just, like, sends a note saying he's going to kill these people. And they're like, what the heck?
So that movie ended on the football field?
No.
Oh, okay.
It ended... I remember... It ended by the water.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying, like, I remember at least one or two
of them. No, because that's where he, like, kidnapped... Like, he takes the guy in... Like, because he shoots him and takes him in, and they're like, you shouldn't have shot him, like, and all this, and then they let him go, and then that's when he steals a bus.
Okay.
And then at the end, he's like, he does that line again where he's like,
yeah.
Did I shoot 5 or 6 bullets?
Yeah.
I don't know the actual quote. But yeah, I liked it a lot. I gave it an 8.5. It made me want to watch the other ones.
And I had a few of them, so I lent them to you.
Yeah, so they're sitting there. Whether I watch them in June or not, depends on how much I get through this box set.
Yeah, no, I need to fucking hunker down with these movies. 5 off, Jesus.
But yeah, that was it. I watched 8 movies this month. The lowest score was 5.5 with Bullet. The highest the highest score with a 9 was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory / Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
My month was pretty good. Highest, Who Framed Roger Rabbit? 9. Lowest, either World's Greatest Dad or 2001, Space Odyssey with the 7.
And I think that's all I got.
Good month. And then next month, I watched one movie for June already, and it's already up there. Nice. So I'm excited. I'm excited for that.
I know, I'm excited. Like, the next couple of movies on my box set, just like this month. This month had some great ones in that box set.
Let's put it this
next
way.
Next month.
Once I start watching movies for fun again, I think a lot of them are going to be leaning towards the detective ones. let's just put it that way.
Watching this?
Well, yeah, after watching Who Framed Rabbit and North by Northwest and all stuff, I'm starting to realize I like just the investigative things. Yeah, so. Well, that was a short month, but hopefully we'll watch more movies and all that stuff. Not yet. You have any movies you want us to watch, or if you want to message us and say, hey, we watch these movies because of you, I really liked them, or I really hated them, give us your thoughts. You can email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. But other than that, I'm Scott.
I'm Jason.
And
that's a wrap! Do 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 do